Thank you for leading us in worship so beautifully. Yeah, and I know some of the kids are gone, but what a good witness from them about not only the use of a phone, but also the wonder of prayer. So, do you know the Psalms very well? You spent much time in these ancient prayers? They come to us from so long ago, out of the Middle East. These prayers prayed in Hebrew, prayers prayed by King David and so many others, prayers that were then written down and woven into Jewish worship life. These prayers were essential to Jesus' life. These prayers, these psalms, they're offered to God, often in praise, but sometimes in lament. Sometimes in deep grief. Sometimes they overflow effusive with thanks. And sometimes they are hot and despairing. And sometimes they move back and forth within one psalm, thanking God and then questioning God. Words of gratitude offset by words of lament. The Psalms hold the full expression of human life, all within the context of lifting this up to God. So do you know the Psalms? You spent much time in these ancient prayers? I've met with a lot of people through the years who really wrestle with prayer. They come with honest and often raw questions about prayer and about God. Why should I pray if God already knows what I need? What's the point? Or I prayed for such and such to happen, and it didn't. I prayed for healing to come to someone, and they died. Why should I pray? Does God even care? Does God love? Does God hear? Sometimes people say that because of their dark and broken past, they're convinced that God isn't going to hear them, that God doesn't even want them to dare to come in prayer. Some people tell me that they don't know how to pray at all. They don't know even where to begin. That it feels like they're just talking to themselves, or that they offer prayers but they seem to just bounce back down from the ceiling and nothing happens, nothing changes. It's hard to stay at it other than rote, memorized prayers. And truthfully, that's sometimes me. I'll acknowledge that. Getting a dry stretch or worn out or waiting for answers to come, frustrated by the silence when I need answers, more often frustrated with myself, unable to slow down enough just to be still in prayer and to listen and to wait and to trust, fighting out those compulsions to just keep pressing ahead on my own. You know what I mean by this? I assume I'm not alone in this. And when we're in a place like that, short-term or long-term, what we don't need is a new three-step technique to become more prayerful, or another book about prayer, as helpful as that can be. I think what we really need are the Psalms. These Psalms. These prayers offered by countless people in countless settings throughout all these many years. Sometimes what we need are the words of other people's prayers because we can't find traction with our own just feel hollow and empty and rote, right? We need the Psalms. We have 150 of them. The Psalms can be our opening when we feel closed in. The Psalms can become our words when we are lacking for our own words. The Psalms can both speak for us and they can speak to us. When we're all knotted up and trying to find our way, they can be bold, they can be comforting, they can be bracing, they can be soothing, and they can teach us about this thing called prayer in new ways. We need the Psalms. Eugene Peterson, in the introduction to the Psalms in his paraphrase called The Message, he wrote this. Prayer is not an advanced language, It is elemental. It's the means by which our language becomes honest, true, and personal in response to God. It's the means by which we get everything in our lives out in the open before God. Prayer. The Psalms. The Psalms can be our opening. They can be our words when we lack our own. Over the next few Sundays, Pastor Ann and I will be touching on a couple of these Psalms. Today is Psalm 116, and it will be helpful to have your Bible open. Some of you know that the Psalms are not just randomly laid out in the Scripture. They are grouped according to theme or according to purpose. One of these groupings is a collection, Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. Here are six prayers, Psalm 113 to 118, that were read out loud during major Jewish feast days like Passover. As people gathered at the table for the Passover meal, this elaborately prepared meal with a roasted lamb and bitter herbs and all the other components of the Passover meal, all of it done in remembrance of God's deliverance of their people from slavery in Egypt, and the whole story of their journey from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. A few of these psalms were read before the Passover meal, like this from Psalm 113. Who is like our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. And this from Psalm 114. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. These were reminding prayers. Reminding prayers. They reminded people that it was God who saved them. That it was God who opened up water in the desert. They were reminded that when their people were on the brink of death due to lack of food, water, and hope, God met them. God provided. God went with them through it all. They were reminded that they didn't become a free people on their own, just like we didn't become free people on our own. It was God. It was God who freed them and who frees us, all out of gracious life. Love. All of life is about God and God's actions. And all these prayers, they are reminding prayers. Remember what was, and remember what now is. So after the Passover meal, with all the visible and tasteable reminders of God's faithfulness spread out on the table, food as a form of storytelling, then four other psalms were read, Psalms 115 through 118. So picture a table full of people, leaning back with full stomachs, stories being told about what was and what now is, remembering God's goodness and provision from way back then all the way to right now at the table today. Picture wine flowing freely, glasses filled, glasses being raised in a sacred toast. And then someone at the table reads these words from Psalm 116, beginning with a question. What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all the people. That's the context of this psalm, Psalm 116. So you listen to the first few verses from the paraphrase, the message. I love God because He listened to me. Listened as I begged for mercy. He listened so intently as I laid out my case before Him. Death stared me in the face. Hell was hard on my heels. Up against it, I didn't know which way to turn. Then I called out to God for help. Please, God, I cried out, save my life. God is gracious. It is God who makes things right, our most compassionate God. God takes the side of the helpless. When I was at the end of my rope, He saved me. So listen as I read again Psalm 116 out of a more formal version. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of those faithful to Him. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I am your servant as was my mother before me. You have loosed my bonds of affliction. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What caught my attention as I read this psalm over and over in preparation for today was that phrase, He turned His ear to me. He turned His ear to me. It's a rich image, isn't it? An ear turning toward us. It's one we can dial into. Because we know when people are actually listening to us, and we know when they're not. When we're talking to somebody and maybe they're saying, but they're looking over our shoulder, we know they're not listening. If they're looking at their phone, at their screen, when we're talking to us, they're not completely listening. And we do that to other people, right? Whether it's by us or whether by others, real listening is not happening. Being present is not happening. When our daughter Liza was a little girl, she was urgently trying to tell me something, and I was doing that thing, and she took my face, she put her hands on both sides of my head and turned my face to her and said, Daddy, I want you to listen with your whole face. Yes, ma'am. She called me out. I still listen to her. Being heard is so important in life, isn't it? In friendships, in marriages, with neighbors, with complete strangers. It means taking the phone off the table. It means shutting down the screen and turning off the TV. It means letting other things fade to the background and just to be present. Just being present. And that's getting harder and harder to do the more online we are, isn't it? And my point here is not to take a hit on our reliance or our addiction to technology. That's not it. Instead, it's to highlight the need of hearing, of listening, of actually being present with others. We know that we need that to be heard, because when we're not heard, having our voice somehow muted by others, our thoughts, our perspectives, our fears, to have them muted or ignored is to be discounted, as if we don't matter. And that's a terrible message to receive. And it can be a cruel one to give to other people. You don't matter. I'm not listening. I had a dream along these lines sometime back. I know a lot of you know that I have a really active dream life, and I occasionally preach about it, hopefully not too much. I dream every night. Every nap, if I take a nap, I dream every nap. Detailed people dreams with a lot of dialogue, and my blessed wife has heard my side of a lot of this dialogue. I don't remember all the dreams, because there are so many of them, but occasionally some stick. And one that stuck kept coming back to me as I was reading this psalm. In my dream, there was something urgent, something deadly and dangerous going on, and I needed to warn people. You need to clear the area or clear the room. And I tried to get people's attention. Please listen to me. There's something dangerous here. But nobody heard me. I was with people. I was touching shoulders and trying to get their attention, but people were just chatting and snacking and smiling and nodding as if it was all so pleasant. As I was becoming more and more alarmed and raising my voice, I could hear it in my head, but nobody could hear me. All I got was smiles and nods. And then it shifted and it became me. I was the one in danger. There was something deadly and dangerous going on with me, and I needed help. Can you help me? Please, I need help. But nothing. People just kept snacking and nodding, smiling, as if it was all so pleasant. And they didn't hear a thing. And my urgency grew and grew and grew. And then it was over. End of dream. It was so unsettling, so disturbing, to feel like I was completely muted to everybody else. Why I have so many dreams, I don't know. It could be that sometimes, like with this one, it gives me that middle-of-the-night perspective into something that other people encounter. Like not being heard. Like having an urgent need and just receiving smiles and nods. Like, oh, it'll be fine. I know that this is how some people sense that it is with God. Pleading prayers are raised. Can you help me? I need help with this. Please. But it seems like the mute button is on. Maybe God is in heaven. So it seems. But he isn't reaching into the muck of all this. So it seems. Psalm 116 comes as a reminding prayer. A prayer of someone who is desperate. Who knew urgency, who knew danger in a panic place. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord, Lord, save me. And clearly God moved. Because it continues, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Like many of you, maybe most of you, I've been in those desperate, panicked places before. Raging fear in my gut, worry wrapped around me like duct tape around my chest. I couldn't breathe, couldn't think. Prayer reduced to three words, oh God, help. Or maybe not even that, maybe just a groan. And it's hard to trust in a time like that. To wait and be patient in the silence of prayer, in the lack of answers, believing that somehow prayer bridges the gap between our urgent need and God's power. But I know all the way into my bones, like a lot of you know, that our prayers, three-word prayers, groans, long strings of prayers, they are not unheard. They are not unheard. As if we've somehow been muted. God's ear has them. God's ear has our prayers. Why they are sometimes not answered, at least not in the way that we wish, I don't know. Only God knows. And that's one of those embedded questions in the mystery of prayer. But we're reminded in the Psalms, in this one and in others and elsewhere throughout Scripture, and we're reminded by the stories that we can share with each other about God's movement in our lives, that God hears. God's ear is tuned to us. And God knows and cares and loves. Verses 5 through 7 in this psalm, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, God saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. But it's important to know that this is not just about us and God. As central as our relationship with God is, it's not just about God and us. It's also about how we are with others, right? How we care, how we listen. How we tune in and how we are moved by the burdens and pains and worries that other people carry. And this happens in us. This changes in us. This is what's transformed in us as we come to know and love Jesus Christ and yield our lives to Him, that He may transform us from the inside out. Because as our lives are yielded to Him, with His truth and His teachings, His very presence at work in us beyond what we fully understand, then we become the earthly hands and feet of Christ. Sometimes being the very answer to the urgent prayers somebody has been praying. Sometimes, somehow, by God's grace, we end up at just the right place at just the right time. Or people sense from us, people who maybe don't even know us, sense that they can trust us. That we're not going to pounce or snap, but that we're going to hear and love. That there's an aroma of love about us by way of Jesus Christ. When Jesus met with His disciples for the last time during their Passover meal, before He was arrested and then crucified, He said He was giving them a new commandment. And He said, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Right? We know this verse. A lot of us do. But sometimes this can be interpreted in kind of an in-house way, like, well, I need to love you and you love me and we can all just get along. It's not hard to love most of you. All of you. But that's a really limiting interpretation, as if it's all just about us. Because Jesus said, by this, everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. This one anothering has a close connection to what we heard earlier from the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. So to tie all this together, the Psalms, and in particular Psalm 116, the Psalms remind us, especially when we're in tight and rough places, that God does hear us. We've got God's ear, all by God's grace. God listens and cares. And in His own way, God answers our prayers. The mute button is not on. And in response to this, in response to all the ways that God has taken care of us, in more ways than we can count, more ways than we even know, there's got to be an outward flow from our lives to others. In our care for others, our neighbors, our families, our friends, total strangers, people completely unlike us. There's got to be this outward flow, a loving reception with our ears ready to hear. Psalm 116 speaks to this. So listen to a few verses toward the end, and then I'll close. What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation, which for us, that translates into remembering what Jesus did for us. The cup, the body, the blood, His life on the cross for us, to forgive us and save us and give us new life and eternal life. It's all in here, the cup of salvation. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of all His people. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on your name, call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Fulfilling our vows in response to how we've been taken care of. Prayers answered, provision given, new life in Christ, to fulfill our vows in the presence of all His people means to bring this forward. To bring it forward, our gratitude, our love, our listening ears, our care, our compassion, the very presence of Jesus because He is at work in us and we have been so graciously treated. And whoever it is who we run into this afternoon, or tomorrow, or in all the days ahead. May we, by God's grace, may we sometimes be that answer to prayer that they've been lifting up. And may they see Christ in us, in our hearts, in our ears, our hearing, in our very attitude. Let's pray. Oh God, as your ear is turned toward us, help us keep our ears turned outward toward others, full of the same compassion you showed us. Lord, it can be hard to listen and to love and to be present to others and to you when we're weighed down or moving fast, or when we feel discouraged or disillusioned. Continue to speak your grace and your love into our lives, taking whatever is bruised or broken, whatever is stressed or is stretched, and do new things in us. May it all be for your glory. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please stand and let's respond in singing together, Beautiful Things.